Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Preds Avalanche Game 4 tonight in Denver. Joined now by our guy Christopher Martell at @KMartell_sports, who is in Denver. Christopher, still, 3.5 hours away from Game 4.
Yeah.
As we sit here, 5:32 Central Time in Nashville. What's going on in Denver? How are you?
Well, you know, everything's going pretty well in Denver. I got to tell y'all, it's an absolutely gorgeous city. I didn't think it would be this nice, but man, it is. It's probably my second favorite place I've ever been to.
Wow! Besides Mount Juliet.
Yes, besides Mount Juliet being number one, of course. Yes.
I almost moved there. Honestly, I love
Mount Juliet.
No,
it is beautiful.
To Denver, I love it out there. It's an awesome town. There's no doubt. Okay, so. Preds completely laid an egg in Game 3. How easy do you think it's going to be just to flush that out?
Well, they can't play any worse than they did on Monday, I think. So coming out into Game 4, based on the mentality that we've heard from the players and how we've seen, especially the practice on we had the practice yesterday and the optional skate today, plus again how they talked, I think it's going to be pretty easy for them to really kind of just forget about Game 3 and go out to Game 4 and have a little bit more edge to their game. You know, a lot of people talk about, you know, take the tape and burn it, throw it away, but I guess it's really on the players to really be able to do that, not think about things that happened in the past, especially a pretty bad loss like that.
Well, the Preds tweeted earlier that Yannick Weber may return to the lineup for Game 4, and I think a lot of people are wondering when Yarncrook will return. What is your thought on both of those?
Well, I think you may see both players in the lineup tonight, and let me explain why. Yannick Weber took part in a morning skate yesterday. He also took part of it today. And he seemed to be doing the line rushes with the defense pairings along with Matt Irwin. So that would kind of lead us to believe that Yannick Weber is going to make it back into the lineup. As for Cali Yarncrook, he participated in practice today and yesterday. But what was interesting is he came off the ice with the rest of the team while players like Mika Salamaki and Scott Hartnell, I believe, and Ellie Tolvanen were the ones that kept working after the primary roster had left the ice. And that usually indicates the players who are going to be scratches that night. So if that's the case, then you could see both Cali Yarncrook and Yannick Weber back in the lineup, which is a huge boost to Nashville.
It's interesting. Jared Bednar, who's the Avs coach, got asked about P.K. Subban. You may have actually been standing here when he said it, being out there. On the hit on McKinnon, he said, I think that play happens many times a night in different scenarios. And then Joe Rexroth had said, he furthered it by saying he maybe could have been called for roughing. Maybe.
Yeah, and I was there when he said that. And to be honest, he's correct. You know, that may have been a roughing penalty if a referee would have seen it. Now, the biggest problem is that particular play that Subban punched McKinnon in the side of the head, the reason it's drawing so much attention is the fact that we did see it happen. You know, I've looked back on the play many a game where I see P.K. Subban tied up with another player 30 to 40 feet behind the play while everybody else is watching what's going on down the ice. Some of us in the media are watching Subban trying to mix whatever he can with another player back behind the play and just instigate, I guess. And the fact is that we all saw him punch Nathan McKinnon. Was it a bad play? Yes, it was a bad play. But he went on by saying, I would do it again. And that's just one of those kind of unwritten rules. Is there are so many battles, so many punches we see after whistles. And referees, don't really call it unless they see it as egregious. Yes, the hit was egregious. It could have been called roughing, but the fact that it didn't, the fact that, like I said, it's part of the unwritten rules, it's just going to, that kind of stuff's going to continue to happen.
Christopher Martell with us at K Martell Sports. What about Mike Fisher tonight?
You know, I think he plays on the fourth line, and I think you're going to see a player like Salamaki probably get substituted out tonight. Maybe, I'm not really sure who else would get substituted out in place of him. Yeah. So if Yarncroke comes back in the lineup, then I would assume Salamaki is the one who sits. And you maybe see a player like Colton Sissons go down to the fourth line and center that one with Fisher and Hartman and put Callie on the third line with Watson and Bonino. But that third line has been so good at keeping that first line of Nathan McKinnon, Gabriel Landeskog, and Mikko Rantanen in check. You got to wonder about that kind of switcheroo there, yeah, and if they can still maintain that same pressure.
I saw Sammy G won't play again for the Avs. They've got several guys that are injured, and that's a factor we thought might have a big effect on the series before it was all said and done.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at the series beforehand, you see Semyon Varlamov, their main goaltender, and Eric Johnson, one of their top defensemen. Those two guys are out for the entire series. And a lot of Preds fans thought, hey, you know, their number one goalie's out, but their number one defenseman's out. Boy, this is going to be a breeze. And then they lose a player in Sam Girard after game one, before game two, and Colorado's now without him. And that kind of boosted that same morale, being like, okay, this is going to be a walk in the park. But in reality, defensemen like Tyson Barrie and Nikita Zadorov have played so well for Colorado in the, not just games one and games two, but especially in games three. In game three, locking down the neutral and offensive zone to really kind of limit Nashville's chances. And it's not, you can't overstate it enough how good of a job they have done in terms of really matching well with Nashville's lineup and the other defensive core as well. So with the loss of those defensemen and the loss of their main goaltender in Varlamov, I really like what the Avalanche have been able to do with the players they have in tow.
What do you think about this whole deal with Pekka? Like, after the game, Adam Vingan had tweeted out this: before you back the bus over Pekkarinne, look at this. His teammates were of no help. It's one of those hot charts where it shows where the goals came from, and they're all right in front of the goal. Mm-hmm. It just seems, and I'm not covering for him because he's, you know, I'm sure he would like to have done better, but every weird bounce hasn't gone his way. Doesn't seem like he's gotten a lot of help at times. It's like the perfect storm of just making him look really bad so far.
It does, but in the same regard, you've got to look at that, like you said, the heat map that Adam Vigan had tweeted out. And look at where all those goals came from. All those goals were directly in front of him. Those were all high-danger chances. And the odds of him stopping 75% of those four, so three of those four, were pretty much non-existent. You look at the first goal, Blake Como was right behind Pekkarinne. Philip Forsberg wasn't able to get him. And he just streaked right in and put a goal right behind Rene. He's not going to be able to stop that one. Nathan McKinnon gets a breakaway. No goaltender is going to be able to stop that one. And then I guess the only one that I really thought was maybe a bad goal was the second Nathan McKinnon goal where Kyle Turris failed to clear it out. And it just kind of ramped up over his glove. Now, when you look at Pekkarinne and what he's been able to do, I really think some of the people who are, kind of say, well, you've not been playing very good. I really think he has been. He's been playing very, very well, but the problem is he was getting no defensive help in the last two games. If Nashville wants to really take it to Colorado tonight, they're going to have to at least give Pekkarinne some help and really stop those point-blank chances from happening.
So what do you think happens tonight, Christopher?
Oh, I think Nashville comes out real strong, and I think it's time that the Preds may have simply said come to the point of, this is enough. This is enough. And, you know, game three was a good wake-up call, and I expect a very, very strong performance by the Nashville Predators tonight.
Like maybe stop first and second shot strong performance of the other team?
You know, three straight games, the Colorado Avalanche are scoring either on the first or the second shot. I wouldn't take that bet if Movada gave me 5-1 odds. I really wouldn't do it.
Neutral Zone coming up tomorrow night at 6. You'll be here for that. And let people know where they can follow your work.
Yes, they can follow it at, of course, KMartell_sports. I do the tweet thing on game days at Preds on FSTN. And, of course, if you'd like to listen to our show on 104 by the Zone, you can catch it at Neutral Zone 104.5.
Tell John Elway we said hey.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. I probably won't do that because I'm a Browns fan.
Oh, gosh. Well, wave at him with the right finger then.
Maybe have maybe have Ernest Biner do it.
Oh, yeah. Gosh. Wow.
No, that's not nice.
I'm sorry. Thanks, Christopher. Appreciate you, man.
Thanks, y'all.